you would, Bibles tonight, please turn to Matthew chapter 7. Of course, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. We'll start at verse 7. I'm going to focus on verse 12. But ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? And a lot of times I'll ask Adelaide and Gavin, what did they have for supper? And they'll say, a stone. My dad, we asked for bread and he gave us a stone. We asked for some fish and he gave us a serpent. Shame on those kids. Josh at least gives them a piece of bread here and there. But Jesus is giving us a principle about going to him, going to God when we have needs, asking, seeking, knocking, believing that we have a gracious Heavenly Father who will provide for all of our needs. He says in verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Really, as I prayed tonight, and I just started thinking of all the good things that God has provided in my life and in your life. Every day we should be thankful. And we should be confident that God's going to provide all of our needs. In verse 12, Jesus makes a statement. He says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, do you know what that, over the years, what that verse has, how people sum it up, what they call it? It's called the Golden Rule. If you would, turn over to Luke chapter 6. It's stated a little differently here. Luke 6 and verse 27. But I say unto you which hear. And you know there's a lot of people that don't hear, that don't have their ears open to hear God in His Word. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Did you catch that? Love your enemies. Do good to people that hate you. Bless them which curse you, or that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Tell you what, those are some hard commands. Those are some really, really heart-searching commandments. But verse 31 is, he says, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." That most people practice reciprocating love. You're nice to me, I'm nice to you. Even lost people practice that. "And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." The golden rule. Now the verses that we just read contain what we commonly refer to as the golden rule. And I've often heard people say that they live by this rule. However, saying and doing are not the same thing. And you can see that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus really elevates our responsibility to a much higher level. Okay? As I studied these verses, it became increasingly clear to me that the principle that Jesus established is unique to Christianity. Every other religion and philosophy states this principle only in negative terms, with a self-serving motive. Treat others as you want to be treated, with hopes that they will do you no harm in return. That's not an expression of love. But in reality, it's one of self-preservation and self-interest. Do good unto others so that you won't get canceled, you won't get hurt, you won't get persecuted. They might show you some mercy in return. Man's most basic problem is a preoccupation with self. We are by nature selfish and self-centered. John MacArthur said this, "Every sin results from preoccupation with self. We sin because we are totally selfish, totally devoted to ourselves rather than to God and to others. Unregenerate man can never come up to the standard of selfless love, the love that loves others as oneself and that treats others in the same way that one wants to be treated." Jesus Christ is clearly commanding His disciples to follow His example of selfless love, which is a much higher and holier standard than any other among men. And it is a mark of genuine biblical Christianity, this highest form of love. There's an entire chapter dedicated to it, 1 Corinthians 13, where the word agape is translated charity, expressing the highest form of love is one that is selfless and giving. Matthew Henry said, Christ came to teach us not only what we are to know and believe, but what we are to do. Now, let's think about the essence of the Golden Rule. Simply stated, the essence of the golden of this golden principle is pure, selfless love for others, expressed in our attitudes, which would be our thoughts, our speech, our words, and our deeds and actions, which is our behavior. So this desiring to be a blessing to others and reach out to treat them as we would want to be treated, we do it from the principle that is a command of Christ. We love Him, and even though that person may be unlovable, hateful, harsh, cruel, an enemy, and who despitefully uses us, we are still commanded to treat them in a way that we would like to be treated. Now, I've always put a lot of emphasis on the two greatest commandments. They are, and Jesus made that statement in Matthew and in Luke, that the two great commandments are the summation of the law and the prophets, is what Jesus said. In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, you have the two commandments expressed: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto the first: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's also set forth in a little different way in Romans chapter 13. One of the ways in which you express love for your neighbor is that you treat them as you want to be treated, and you do them no harm. Romans 13:8 says, if you love your neighbor, then do this. 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. See, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to try to steal his wife or her husband. Thou shalt not kill. You're not going to have designs of murdering somebody or even thoughts of it. Thou shalt not steal. If you love your neighbor, you won't loot. You won't riot. You won't take what doesn't belong to you. That's contrary to the law of God. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You won't lie about your neighbor. Boy, we are in the thick of it right now. I don't watch much, so I haven't seen all the commercials, but I guarantee you that all these political commercials, one guy's lying about the other guy, and that guy's lying about that guy. And it's an endless... Politics is wicked, man. It's filthy. And people justify it and say, it's just, that's how it is. That isn't how it should be. That's why we have such an immoral country. Think about the people that we put in office. I mean, perverts and pimps and liars and cheats, adulterers, fornicators, people that steal. It's awful. But it tells you something about the people who vote for them. See? Now the fact is, and this really gets people mad when I say this, maybe one of the reasons why I like saying it. I don't care. I've been voting since I was, my first election that I voted in was 1980. Okay? Now some of you go back before that. This is my first time ever voting. And I was saved in 1980, right after that election. But I can honestly say I've never voted for anyone on the national scale or local scale that if I knew that they believed in abortion, I would not vote for them, period. That was that number one. That's number one for me. Now it's gone to, I go a little bit deeper now. I don't want to vote for communists. So I won't vote for communists. But I'm trying to remember what I was getting at here. I've been voting, and I know what it is. It's what makes people mad. I've heard a lot of preachers in my time say, well, you ought to, if you can't vote with full force behind that person and you don't believe they're a good person, then you shouldn't vote at all. Listen, every vote I've ever cast has been for the lesser of two evils. There has never, ever been somebody that I voted for that I thought believed what I believe in the Bible. Genuine Christianity. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't people saved. I will say this, I don't think many of them are. But I try to vote for somebody that I think at least pays some kind of respect to God and His Word and not just says it. Like Nancy Pelosi said she's a good Catholic. She's lying. She's a reprobate. If she don't repent, she's going to split hell wide open for all the lies that she's done. But she ain't a good Catholic. Not if you believe in abortion right up to birth. And she voted for that. Well, the two greatest commandments are the essence of these commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You're not going to lie. Thou shalt not covet. Okay? You won't covet other people's things or things that you may not have. And if there be any other commandment, is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now look at verse 10. Because this is the principle Jesus was setting forth. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, Christ's love went even beyond that. Because His love was completely sacrificial. Now, here's the reality of the way most people operate in this world. We treat others as we expect them to treat us. Our attitudes, our speech, and our actions are often reactive, meaning that we respond to people based on the way that they treat us. Okay? If they're nice, then we're nice back. We reciprocate their behavior. But the love that Christ is calling us to is proactive. And it's carried out with pure motives. The way we treat others has nothing to do with how they will treat us in return. That's what he's teaching. He's telling them, you need to love your enemies like I have loved you. You were my enemy, and I died in your place. I gave my life for you. So the way, our standard is much higher than that. So we should think and act and speak in a manner that we would want to be treated. But realizing what Luke 6:35 said, hoping for nothing again. Nothing in return. Just based on, we're going to do good no matter how wicked somebody else may be. That's a much higher motive. See? And much more difficult to really live out. I know I struggle with it. Because I'm reactive. I know. I mean, I get mad. And I have to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Now, next week, I'm going to give you some examples of what it is to practice the golden rule. And we'll look at what the Bible says. So we'll pick that up next week.